and by head coach Brad Brownell. Coach, I appreciate you taking some time to join us as always. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good to be on with you again.
Yeah, a lot to talk about. I want to talk about BYU, and I also want to talk a little bit about Mercer coming up and that game. Before we do, just I know the trip didn't go smoothly on the way up, but how about the trip as a whole?
Yeah, no, it was a great experience. You know, just for your guys to get a chance to play in Madison Square Garden and full house, great environment. Big crowd, you know, big stage. I mean, that's what you want as a player. You want to be in those environments and have chances, and obviously that's what we want for our program. So, yeah, we had a few travel issues, but that had nothing to do with anything in terms of game outcome. But, man, it was a lot of fun up until it wasn't. You know what I mean? It was just one of those things where we played about as well as we could play the first 20 minutes. Give them some credit. They certainly upped their game. I think they maybe took us a little lightly would be my guess, and we kind of punched them in the mouth, and then they took it to another gear, and we didn't handle it very well, both coaching and playing, and you know, we let one get away, which is really disappointing. But in terms of the overall opportunity and experience for our players, it was a good one.
And it was still a game that came down against the ninth-ranked team in the country, came down to the final shot in the last 1.3 seconds. So it's another growing experience. You know, we talked about the fact that it was probably going to take 10 or 12 games to sort all these pieces out and to figure them out and to figure out, you know, who plays best with whom and who's going to be on the court at the end of the game. And I don't think you have the answers to those questions yet, do you?
Yeah, I think the hardest thing is we probably just don't have a true go-to guy
at the end of games,
and it's more like a guy who that settles the team down, and who's on the court and who's just good enough in a game like that to go get a shot for himself or create something for somebody else. And that's a high level player now. Like that's not. I mean, that's no disrespect to the guys on my team. I mean, you got to be a dude to be like that. I mean, it's crazy. DeBonson and you know, Phylon for Alabama kind of did that for their two teams really at the end of the games to win those games. And there's probably only, you know, two or three guys that are on the floor that even have that kind of ability. You know, and so we've been lucky. We've had it with Chase, or maybe PJ was good enough inside when we could get it to him to affect games that way. But there aren't most guys just can't affect the game that way. And so that, you know, then you're searching for answers. And obviously in the second half, we just couldn't find any answers. Our pick and roll reads were poor. Some of our off ball cutting was not good. Obviously we had a couple turnovers that were bad. And then, you know, we actually got about five or six really wide open threes and we just didn't make them. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you're struggling like that, you know, you know, it gets hard. And you just don't have a guy that can kind of just go get you a basket to settle a rundown or do something. And so, you know, that's where we as coaches got to do a better job. That's on me as a coach to figure out a way to continue to help your guys. And in that game, I didn't do enough in the second half to help our guys finish a couple plays.
I think you'd like to advance Foster like a year right now and have him, because I think he's the guy who answers these questions for you eventually, but he's not there yet. And I know he's on the court at the end of some of these games, but, you know, he's going through some growing pains himself. He had a couple turnovers there in the BYU run that were damaging. But it's, you know, part of it's basketball. I mean, I was still worried a half time. I know it kills you. It's killing me. I mean, I thought I took my blood pressure. It just blew off my wrist. It said, no, it doesn't compute, because at halftime, I was worried about the first 4 minutes of the second half. I was worried about the fact that I knew BYU was going to make a run. They're too good not to. And this is – it's amazing. 20-point leads in this game today mean, like, nothing if you don't close it out. I mean, you've been involved in, like, consecutive 20-point games on each side of the equation. Even Florida-UConn, it wasn't a 20-point game, but Florida goes 0 for 10 in their last 10 shots of the first half, then 9 for 10 on their first 10 of the second half. And part of it, it's just human nature.
Correct. Yeah, and I think that's the most challenging part, right? And the crazy thing is when you look at the first 4 minutes you know, we steal the ball. Jake
first two times.
Steals the ball, goes in for a layup, makes one out of two. We get a turnover again on the second possession.
Yep.
Where we play great defense and knock a ball loose, and you know, we can't convert. We actually had a couple of, you know, couple of open threes right there in the first couple minutes where I felt like if we happen to make both of those, the game's probably like we're probably in good shape.
Yep.
But we didn't, and that's how basketball goes. You know, the shots that you're making in the first half, you don't make as many sometimes. And then the other big thing is obviously they started to score, and so now they're scoring. We're not, you know, we're playing against a set defense.
Yes,
they're getting to press
pressure
a little bit. They're getting to throw a rhythm out. When in the first half, they couldn't score.
Right.
And, you know, our defense was unbelievable. Our guys' effort first to the floor. I thought we got every 50-50 ball. I thought we were the tougher team, tougher-minded team. And obviously we built off that, and that gave our guys confidence. And then obviously when we started to – and I don't think it started right out of the half. I just think it was a slow – kind of a slow death there.
Yeah.
In the second half where we just couldn't quite make a shot. And – even got the ball inside a couple times, and Carter Welling is like under the basket. And you think
yep.
he's dunking it, and they block it from behind. And I give Kate a lot of credit. You know, he blocked a shot on Butta Johnson's drive. That Butta made a phenomenal drive, and it's the same play he made against Georgia in the Georgia game where he made a high layup and he blocked it off the glass. And so there are just some plays that, you know, when you're playing against elite players, they sometimes nullify. And we just, you know, we just weren't good enough to grind out it another way. And again, like I said, I think we have to do a better job as coaches to just figure out a way to try to help your guys be successful. We just couldn't find a way to score in the second half.
Those last 7 minutes of the first half, I could almost see a smile on your face. I mean, that your team was playing beautiful basketball. I mean, the beautiful game, both ends. You're winning all the hustle points. You're killing them on the offensive glass. You were shooting the lights out. The ball reversal, the ball movement, player movement, the defense, which I think was even more energized by the fact that you're seeing the ball go in. I mean, it just couldn't be any better. I mean, I thought the announcers were just blown away by what they were seeing in the last 7 minutes of the first half.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, I think that is part of basketball. It's a game of runs, and you get momentum, and, you know, and that's exactly what happened. And our guys were feeding off each other and feeding off the, you know, the loose balls and then the offensive rebounds, and we'd kick it out and we made a three, and you know, we got an offensive rebound on a free throw and ended up with a dunk.
Yep.
Just some plays like that you really, you don't always count on those, but like, man, when they're going, your things are going your way, that seems like those things happen more often. And yeah, I mean, I was proud of our guys. I thought we were really ready. You know, we talked about it a little bit with Alabama. I thought we were on our heels. I thought we were a little nervous. I thought we were like, let's go see how this goes. And it didn't go well. And, you know, we rectified that. We had them ready to go, and we talked about it all week. And you know, I had them pretty riled up in the locker room, and they went out and, you know, played like we needed to. And then for whatever reason, we just couldn't kind of continue. And some of that's when you're not scoring. And our defense wasn't bad for a long time. I thought our defense was actually pretty good for a good chunk of the second half. Wasn't great, but it was better than probably it looked like. And then to their credit, they found a couple actions late that exposed us, and they got a couple dunks, and they executed down the stretch better than we did to win.
You know, I thought in the second half, I thought early on they ran some step-up ball screens where they're screening for Robert Wright out 30 feet from the basket. And I thought it seemed like that opened up the court for him. And then I thought they also adjusted by getting DeBonsa more into the middle, where in the first half he was operating more on the baseline. And in the middle, I thought he was able to do some things that really posed you some problems.
Yeah, he's obviously a really good player.
Yep.
And, you know, we were going to live with some of his, you know, you can't stop everything. We
right.
did a decent job on Saunders and Davis and some other guys, and we had him shooting some shots that we really wanted him to shoot in the first half, and he missed a bunch, and he made a couple, and then we fouled him a couple times, which was, that was number one on the scouting report, was don't foul him. You have to be disciplined. Zach fouled him once, Jake fouled him once, and we just kind of giving points away because you just can't do that with him. It's, you know, it's hard, even when that guy's making some twos, it's hard for those don't really kill you. They just don't, they're not going to get away from you. But if they're getting fouls, and now they're going to get in the bonus, and different things happen off of it, then you're really in some trouble. And that started to happen in the second half the longer the game went. And I thought there was just a little bit of a wearing effect on our team. When you're not scoring, you know, it just beats on you a little bit, and it's hard to have the same level of energy. And I thought we just wore down a little bit at the end. And, again, they made some plays to out-execute us. Give our guys a lot of credit, man. We fought back and tied it. Unbelievable. You know, I might as well address it. I'm sure everybody's, why don't they have a guy on the ball, the whole thing? Obviously, you know, our thought process was there on the last second play was they're going to, and they did. They isolated Saunders and DeBonson, you know, kind of near the low block, and they're going to curl Saunders for a lob and then basically get you to just help a little bit and then throw the ball up to DeBonson. He's going to shoot a shot at, you know, 8 feet to win the game. And so we said, that's not happening. We're not getting beat by DeBonson on an 8 foot turnaround when he's been making them here lately. So, you know, RJ probably stepped away from his man a little bit, but our guys kind of contested the shot, and give their guy credit. He made a tough shot to beat us.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that their first two options were, they were looking for Saunders on a back cut lob, and they were looking for DeBonson. And then the third option was finally Wright cut into the ball. And honestly, when he cut to the ball and he's moving left to right as he takes that shot, I thought there's no way he's making that shot. And he hit it. Sometimes that just happens. I thought it was defended well. I think he took away their two primary options on it, and their third option hit what I thought was a really difficult shot. And obviously you can't risk fouling him there either. So I thought you did everything you could in that circumstance. Let me just ask about, he's a tough guy to double too, especially when they get him in the middle of the court. He's a hard guy to double. And you know, I thought the times you tried to double him, he sort of made you pay with passes. I think there was a three-pointer made off the left wing with 2 minutes left when you try and collapse on him up top and he dumps it out for three. And it seemed to me like, you know, you did a great job defending this team from the three-point line. I think that's what you're talking about. I mean, you know, if you overcommit to him, they just have too many three-point shooters.
Yeah, and that's, Carter made a bad play. We really didn't. We practiced doubling from the baseline, but he was supposed to do that if he spun and went on the dribble. And I think it's just, you know, anxiousness. Carter got a little too anxious, and he really didn't even take it baseline. He kept it middle. And obviously Carter left his man and gave him a dunk, and that was a big play in the game. We had just kind of scored to get it, I think, back up by three or whatever, and so that one really hurt. But beyond that, I thought our guys showed really good discipline, because – when you watch all the film like we do, he's an elite passer. I mean, he's so big that he's been doubled. So the guy's probably his whole life. So he's very skilled and knows where it's coming from most times. And so he just whips the ball across it, or 3-point shooters. And you end up giving up threes instead of guarded twos. And so that's part of what we talked about, is like, we really don't want to double him unless he dribbles into a double on the baseline. And he didn't do that very often. He actually made one tough baseline turnaround over us in the second half, which was a high-level shot that you just kind of shake his hand on. But I thought our guys were pretty disciplined to the play, and we obviously had a couple mistakes. And, you know, that's the problem, is when you play an elite team and you have a couple mistakes, sometimes that's one too many.
When they ran that middle ball screen with Kaida and they threw the lobs, it seemed like when Carter took any step up is when they threw that lob over his head. And they cleared out the backside there, I thought, a couple times. I thought they ran a couple nice actions there. Looking back on that, what would you have done differently there?
Yeah, it's really hard, because that's kind of a play that's come about here in the last 2 years that teams are running. You know, it's especially good when you got a guy that can catch lobs and you got a guy that can throw them. But it's really hard. I mean, you know, you either have to play all the way back, but you don't know that what's exactly happening. So, I mean, you got to be playing that way on almost all ball screens. And so that's, most teams don't do that. That's why it's a good play. You know, you're probably going to, that's going to happen to you once in a game. If you come up to touch, probably Carter on the second one should have realized, hey, they just ran this.
Yeah.
I need to be smarter and just back up. And if he wants to shoot the 10-foot, 12-foot shot, we're going to give him that. And that's, you know, the hard part for us too is JP was the guy who was on the bottom the second time.
Yeah, second time.
Unfortunately, he can't he's a non-factor.
Coach, hold on. If you could stay with me, hold on a minute. I've got to take a quick break. I want to talk about the upcoming game with Mercer, too, if you have a few more minutes. Walt Tipton, Road Rage, joined by head coach Brad Brownell. We'll be back.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
How can you make her holiday truly special? By giving some Christmas magic from Turner's Jewelers. The perfect necklace, earrings, or watch will make her season bright. Choose from a variety of breathtaking collections. Or melt her heart with a spectacular Turner's custom jewelry design. Of course, Santa could decide to leave a dazzling engagement ring under the tree. Your special holiday begins at Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days, just in time for the holidays. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
When you need plumbing and drain services, call Roto-Rooter and get the problem fixed fast. Roto-Rooter is locally owned and operated. We've been making troubles go down the drain since 1935, and you can count on us for reliable service at your home or business. Call 1-800-GET-ROTO. That's 1-800-GET-ROTO or schedule service online at rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away go troubles down the drain. Roto-Rooter.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersLeep.com.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
Clemson fans, whether you're buying or selling a house or just protecting your home as a future investment, you need a contractor you can truly trust. At Crawlspace Medic, we are locally owned by a Clemson Engineering alum, and we provide fast reports, itemized estimates, and zero sales pressure. We offer free inspections for homeowners and real estate agents, all completed by certified techs. Partner with Crawlspace Medic today for that free inspection.
Attention student athletes, don't let injury or surgery keep you on the sidelines longer than it should. Get back in the game faster with Ortho Laser Spartanburg. Our state-of-the-art FDA-approved laser therapy is the strongest on the market, designed to reduce swelling, relieve pain, and speed up recovery. And now, with special student pricing, there's no better time to heal smarter, not harder. Whether you're in high school or college, Ortho Laser is here to help you return to peak performance. Visit our website, recoverwithlight.com. Get back in the game with Ortho Laser Spartanburg.
Get ready to discover incredible savings with Fort Hill Natural Gas. Say goodbye to seasonal worries and embrace year-round savings by adding gas appliances with cash rebates to your home. But that's not all. Call the office now and find out how you may qualify for residential volume user rate, adding even more value to your energy savings. Ready to start saving big? Visit FHNGA.com and explore the rebate page for more details.
Bob, you're a Clemson alum just like I am.
That's right, Ginger. I'm glad we struck up a friendship at Everlawn Independent Living.
Gosh, yes. Thank goodness we found Everlawn. Chef-prepared meals, housekeeping, and a fun schedule of activities like cards, movies, and parties. We can even catch a Tigers game or a show at the Brooks Center.
It's a sweet life, Ginger. Comfort, community, and Clemson pride.
I think we both agree. Everlawn Independent Living is where we belong.
Yay, Everlawn. Go Tigers.
Learn more today at everlawnliving.com.
Get out of my way. Welcome to the Road Rage. We are back, and we're rejoined by Clemson men's basketball coach Brad Brown. Now, we've been talking about the Clemson-BYU game. I want to get to some Mercer conversation. Coach, I have one more question for you. Obviously, he drew a very tough defensive assignment for much of the second half in Buddy Johnson when he had to try and check DeBonta at times, who has 4 or 5 inches on him. But I think Buddy Johnson has really upped his game of late. I think he's really playing good basketball on both ends.
No, he's improving. I think he's just gotten more comfortable with, you know, with how we do things. He's kind of a quiet kid, really, a little unassuming. And, you know, sometimes it's just taking a little bit of encouragement to, like, buddy, come on now. Like, you got more in there, buddy. We've seen it. Like, let's go do it. And, you know, he's the kind of guy where, like, sometimes he's open in the corner and the guy's driving and, you know, he puts his hands up, but he doesn't call for the ball. It's like, you know, he's just kind of a nice kid. And, you know, we've got to get more out of him, but he's played very well in some of these big games. Obviously, he was terrific in the Georgia game. Man, he really helped us win that game. I thought he played well last night. You know, he's a guy that can make a shot, but he also can put it on the ground a little bit. Yep. And he had a great drop off a ball screen roll with RJ in the second half for a 3-point play. And then again, he had two more drives that he got to the rim. One got blocked. And then they missed another when they probably should have stopped and passed. But, you know, those aren't easy places to get to. So, yeah, we're encouraged, you know, and I think he is an important player for us moving forward.
I mean, I think it's a great start to the season. I know the outcome in Alabama and Georgetown and this game didn't go your way. But you've lost three games. You've played some elite competition, and you've lost by just a handful of points. I mean, you're dangerously close to being unbeaten with a really challenging schedule, and obviously it's going to be an improved ACC, and I think this is all great preparation for it. I think you're where you want to be. It seems to me. I know people are a little disappointed with the immediate outcome of what happened with Alabama and BYU, but I mean, from my standpoint, I think you're right there, and it's a really fun team to watch, and I'm loving it. So I expect it will just get better and better. Let me talk to you about Mercer. Mercer, a better team than people think. 7-2, they open up the season with Tennessee, and they played a really competitive game against Tennessee. I think it was pretty frustrating to Rick Barnes. I think they turned Tennessee over like 19 times in that game. And they've got some players, and Armani Mighty, they've got some size, too. He's got the right name for it, Armani Mighty, 6'10", and 240, whatever he is. But he's a big dude who uses his size pretty well.
Yeah, they do. They have a good team. Yeah, this is a little bit, you know, we got to be careful. We've really tried to hit our players hard. Obviously, we've had finals this week and a lot going on. We had Tiger Wonderland last night. But, you know, we did practice well today. I think we're trying to get past obviously what happened, and our guys understand that we better be really ready to play. Their point guard, Akoji, is dynamite. Yeah. I mean, he can really pass the ball. He's unbelievable in ball screen, roll reads, and he can score. He's averaging 18 a game and 6 assists. And Zaire Williams at the guard spot and Quentin Perkins are both guys that shoot over 40% from three. And then you got Mighty inside. This is a good club. I think they're 110 or 12 or whatever, something like that in the net. This is certainly the best, you know, guarantee game that we're playing. You know, our guys are really going to have to be ready, and it's going to be on us quick tomorrow at 3. So we got a night meeting here to kind of talk to them again a little bit more, watch a little more film, and get ourselves ready to go.
And Okogie, the Memphis transfer, as you said, is and you know, Barnes talked about the fact that they couldn't get the ball out of his hand. You know, that Mercer did a really good job of keeping the ball in their primary playmaker's hands, and they did. They really competed in that game. Again, I know it's game one, but they've been good. They've been a high scoring team, as you said, multiple guys who can shoot, and then Armani Mighty is their big. Now you have a size advantage other than him.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see if we can make it matter. Sometimes we have, and sometimes we haven't. Yeah. And you know, that's been a little bit of the frustrating part of it. Some games, you know, we've been able to do that. Some games, it hasn't been as good as we'd like. They're going to try to stretch us out, obviously, with all the 3-point shooting, and then an elite point guard and a big guy to screen and roll. And so, you know, we're going to have our hands full. Our guys are going to have to really be ready. We're going to have elite ball screen coverage. And then offensively, they're going to change defenses and trap and press and do a few things to make it chaotic. You know, they're averaging 85 a game, so they're coming in here with a chip on their shoulder. They got an older team too, a lot of juniors and grad guys, so they're an older team. So they've played some high majors. These guys won't be in awe of the situation, and again, we're going to have to be ready to compete.
And they're going to drive the ball, so you're going to have to level them off too.
That's right. I just think they have a good mix.
Yeah.
You know, their coach does a good job. Ritter does a good job. Yeah. His second year there, you can tell he's gotten some guys in, and they can really score it. So this is a game where we're going to have to play well, and, you know, we got to shake off that second half.
I think you already answered this, and I think you just commented on it again, but just in general, like, how hard is it to come off a super emotional, disappointing game of the nature you just did, which is, I mean, that's insane. Madison Square Garden, BYU, all the bright lights. How hard is it to come off of that disappointing ending and refocus on a team like Mercer that, you know, doesn't have much name recognition, but they always play tougher than their name?
Yeah, I think this is one of the harder, you know, it's the more challenging things for coaches. Like coaches, I mean, you know, we've watched all the film, and, you know, we have the ultimate respect when you start watching the film and see what they do, and then you try to impart that on your players. But these are young guys, you know what I mean? And they got a lot of people in their ear talking to them about a lot of different things. You just hope it's the right things. And that's the most challenging part of it right now as a coach in this probably new era. Last few years, it's just, you know, keeping your guys focused and making sure that they're listening to the coaches. And, you know, as much as they need to, but I'm optimistic. Our guys are going to be ready. We're going to be hungry and ready to play. And certainly, if we're not, we're going to have our hands full.
Yeah. Hey, Coach. Congrats to you and the team. I know the outcome was disappointing, but it's awesome to be in these big games and to be respected. And you have built the level of respect of this basketball program. It's being nationally recognized, and obviously you're going to be invited back. You keep playing like that. I mean, it was a great night of basketball at Madison Square Garden. Both games were incredible, and all four teams were incredible. So congratulations. I know it didn't end right, but I think there's a lot more positives out of it than negatives.
Well, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. But on to the next. Now we got to get ready to go for the next one.
Thank you, Coach.
Appreciate you.
Good speaking with you, as always. Yep. I mean, you know, I watched it again late last night, this morning, and you know, it's a game that was winnable in so many different ways, and you know, I thought that BYU made several second half adjustments that helped them. Again, they used some step up screens that were, I mean, you had Kata setting screens for Wright 30, 35 feet from the basket. I think that helped them open up their offense.